Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Talking about God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's just impossible to please Him. I like pleasing God. But without faith, it's impossible to even please Him. You could give everything you own away. If you don't do it in faith, it's not pleasing. In fact, I've learned that everything I do, I better do it by faith. In fact, the scripture says anything that's not of faith is sin. So without faith, make sure when you do something that you're doing it in faith toward God. Everything you do, do it in faith because it pleases God. When you act in faith, it pleases God. When you love your neighbor, you do it by faith. When you love somebody who's mean to you, you do it by faith. That's one time you really do it by faith. There's a lot of things I do, I just do it by faith. When it comes to healing, I just believe for my healing by faith. I just step out on faith. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Most people won't step out unless they see something to step out on. But faith says you step out whether you feel it or see it or have any results or have any evidence at all, because faith won't make you, faith will make you do things that other people would do.
That's true.
I mean, you do crazy things when you have faith in God. It makes you act weird. It makes you lay hands on people when they're out in public.
It makes people run from you.
Because when you believe God,
amen,
and you see a need, and you know, well, you're packing something inside you that will take care of that need, you step out and you see it done.
Amen.
You get the job done, don't you?
Yes.
Because you're not running around building a bunker. You're not running around putting food away. You got everything you need right here. Everything you could ever want from God is right here. If you got faith in God, you can believe anything. I used to hear Shambach say, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. That's all you need is faith in God. Faith in God's word is faith in God. You cannot separate believing what God has said and believing just believing God and believing the word. I'm telling you what, God is His word. And even said, I'll supply all your needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He meant that. He meant that. Faith is so powerful. But most people have to feel it. They have to have the evidence of it. They have to experience it before they'll ever step out on something called faith. Oh, they got to feel good first before they believe they're healed. They got to see the evidence before they'll believe they're healed. They got to have the physical experience before they feel they're healed. By golly, the word of God says I'm healed, I'm healed, whether I feel it or not.
That's right.
And I'm going to act like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk like it.
Come on.
I don't care if I'm feeling shooting pains up this leg. This leg is healed. That's where you get aggressive with God. That's where you get aggressive with the devil. That's where you get aggressive with your own self. You say, I'm going to believe God. Whether I feel like it or not. Because I don't consult my emotions. I don't consult my brain. I don't consult my intellect. I don't consult my physical being. We're raising up a church that's going to believe God. Because we ain't going to have no more time of playing games anymore with God. No more pussyfooting around with God. No more playing in church anymore. It's coming down to the nitty gritty that we're going to know who's got faith and who doesn't have faith. And if you ain't practicing faith right now, it is a sure sense you ain't going to have it when you need it. What if you can't go out and buy your medicine? What if you can't go out and get your drugs? What if you can't go out and get your whatever it is you usually use to help you with your problems? What if you can't get access to any medications? What if you can't get any help? What if you can't get any food? Are you going to have any faith to believe God then? If you can't believe God now, who do you think you are that you're going to believe God then?
Right.
Let's wake up and be real.
That's right.
God is tired of a people who say one thing in their mouth and don't act in their like it's true in their heart. He's tired of a people who confess one thing and do something else behind the scenes.
Yes.
He's one of the people who really do believe his word and who really live in it. Live it out loud. Live it like it's true. I wrestled all night long through the Spirit the other night. My spirit was speaking the word to the devil attacking my body all night long. And I said, I bind you, Satan. I resist you in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I'm healed. No questions asked about that. Amen. It's a done thing as far as I'm concerned. Glory to God. I didn't plan to preach like this morning. I have a message. The Lord gave me grace here to deliver it. But you know what? I have been I've been a churchgoer for 35 years. If you've heard me say 100 times, and it's the truth. And when Delise sings that song, let us go speedily to the house of the Lord. Let us go speedily to pray. I've always been the one that was running to pray. I was not slack in being in the house of God. I've never been a not going to the house of God because I needed God. I've always known I need God. I need to know God. I need God. I need God. I need God. God doesn't need me, but I need God. And so I'm seeking God. I'm seeking God. I'm running to the house of God. I said, Lord, I've always run to seek your face. I go because I need you and I want you to bless. I want to be a blessing to somebody. And so I'm going to the house of God to pray. I'm going to the house of God to worship and get whatever God wants me to get out of that message. He's going to give it to me. Amen. And I've sat under many, many ministers, and I've sat under many, many, many pastors over the years, and I've heard some crazy stuff that just didn't sit right inside me. It was like it just didn't, I just couldn't find a place where it really registered. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We heard something out of the pulpit that said, well, you know, Lord, I would love to believe that, but somehow it just doesn't fit somewhere. It just doesn't register. I can't get it to stick in me. And I would go home and I'd pray about it. I'd cry about it. I've sat in many a church services and just cry and say, God, I don't understand why that preacher would say that. It just doesn't sound like faith to me. It just doesn't sound like it's right to me. And I say, God, I don't understand that. But see, I didn't know that God was building a person. He was building a bunker. He was building something inside me. He was building my own fortress. He was building a house in me. He was preparing me for a time and a season that I could believe God for anything, that I wouldn't have to look to man for nothing, that if there was nobody on this planet, God would still be alive and well. He was building something in me. The word says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. God has been building me. He's been building you. A lot of our problems is we just don't give him a lot of material to work with.
Yeah, that's the truth.
We got to give him something to work with. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you don't give God some of your time to pray, some of your time to read the word, get your face in that word, get your eyeballs on that word, let the Holy Ghost talk to you, and let him put something in that bunker of yours. Let him put something in your storehouse so you'll have something to draw out when you need it, because there's going to be people come to you who are going to need a prayer, who are going to need a drink of water, who's going to need some food, and you're going to be able to pull it out of your spirit man by faith, and you're going to manifest the things for God's glory. I don't care what anybody comes to me and asks me for prayer for. I know I can get it for him. I know I can get it for him. That young man called, text me. He doesn't really even know me. And says, I need a cosigner. I want a car real bad. I need his truck. Well, I'm not cosigning. I know I'm not co-signing. If my kids called me and asked me to co-sign, I probably wouldn't co-sign. So I called him and I said, or I texted him back, I said, are you anywhere near? And he said, I'm about home. I said, well, I'll talk to you when you get here. I pulled him into my apartment. I set him down on the couch and I preached some word to him. And I said, I'm going to tell you, right now I can't co-sign. But I said, because, and I told him some of the reasons. But I told him, I said, did you know what? I got something better than co-signing. I got something called faith. I can believe for you to get that vehicle without a co-signer.
Come on.
And he looked at me like I was nuts. And I said, can I pray with you? And I said, I got something called faith. And I shared a little bit about faith. And I sat down with him and he said, okay. I took his hand. I don't know that anybody's ever prayed for him like this in his entire life. And so I laid hands on him, and I held hands with him, and I began to agree that he was going to get the, I don't remember how I prayed. I just, you know how I get in the zone. I start praying. And I pray and I believe in God for this car to manifest, that he's going to get this car. Favor is going to come. And I, like I said, I remember everything. Do you know, I saw him a couple of days after that, and he said he got the cosigner. He got the loan without a cosigner. And he can get the car if he wants it. But that's what I prayed. That's what I prayed. And so God made a way. He always makes a way when you pray. I would rather pray for a sinner who doesn't even know God than for some religious-minded people who've been indoctrinated to a certain way of thinking that God will only do what he wants. You know, God's not really a very good God, and he will only do what he wants to do if it suits him. You know, they don't, I'm telling you, there's a lot of messed up Christians who's been taught wrong, indoctrinated with false doctrine, and they won't believe nothing. They can't believe, they won't even hardly pray for anything. So I know sometimes a sinner who doesn't know a thing is easier to believe for them to get something than some folks that are Christians in church. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I want to show you a couple of things that was laid on my heart this morning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Now, I showed you that without faith it's impossible to please God. So just remember that, that you're not going to get a thing, you're not going to please him, you're not going to move God if you don't have some faith. And faith comes from hearing by the word of God. But Genesis 1, verse 26. Let's just go through some scriptures here. I've been building a storehouse. You building your storehouse? Are you building your bunker? Are you building your faith? Are you developing your faith? Are you growing your faith? Are you preparing for the days to come in the word of God? Are you ready for what's coming? I don't think a lot of Christians are going to be ready. But I tell you what's the good news is that we're here to help them. So when they do come, when they do have tragedy, when they don't have any place to go, they can't get their medicine, they can't get their antibiotics, or they can't get their whatever, they'll be able to come and we'll get them healed. And we'll teach them faith. There's going to be a whole lot of us will be teaching faith in the days to come. That's why we're getting it now. Because we're being taught faith now for the day to come when we may not have a Bible. But we've already got the faith here. We've already got our Bible right here. My storehouse is right here. If they take away our privileges, it doesn't matter. Do you know the China church, underground church, is the most strongest church in the world? They're seeing miracles, and outstanding miracles are happening all over the world in the underground churches where they barely have a Bible to read. God is moving among his church. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Made male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to whom it shall be meat for you, or it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Now, let's just go back in time for a moment. I want to take us back in time for just a moment. I want you to think about this. When God created this earth, he created a pristine, beautiful earth, and he created it for man. He got everything ready for man. And then when he created the man, gave him a perfect home to live in, a perfect environment, and he gave him a home, he said, okay, I'm going to give you power, I'm going to give you dominion, I'm going to give you authority, I'm going to give you everything that creeps, I'm going to give you the right to have, you're responsible for everything. As long as seed time and harvest remains, the earth remains, there can be seed time and harvest. So we know that God has not changed any of that order. But what did happen was when in the fall, man lost his position of power and authority. What was the very first thing God said? Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now that dominion is a very important word to understand dominion, because that was the mind of God for all human beings from the beginning. In the state of innocence, in the state of being pure, in the presence of God. You give somebody wicked dominion over the earth, it's going to destroy the earth. And that's basically what's happened. The devil had dominion of the earth. Adam sold out and get turned high treason and gave his authority and his dominion over to Satan. And I can prove that to you. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And verse 6. I just really want to blow out of the water some serious wrong teaching that has infiltrated the body of Christ. And it's been the enemy who strategically used ministers to destroy our effectiveness, destroy our faith, destroy our ability to be the end time church we're supposed to be. Yeah. And so look at Luke chapter 4, verse 6. And the devil said unto him, talking to Jesus, this is talking to Jesus in the wilderness, all this power will I give thee. Let's go back to verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain and showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now here's Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. He'd been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And after he was fasted all those times, the devil comes to tempt him. And he says to him, he takes him up, and he says, look at all these kingdoms. He showed him all the kingdoms of the earth in a moment of time. And look at what Satan says. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. See, that's why movie stars sell out their soul to the devil. That's why people sell out to the devil. Because they want the power that the devil can give them. They want all the wealth and all the kingdoms that the devil can give them. Because it's been delivered unto him. Well, who delivered all this to the devil? Who delivered all this power and dominion? I thought God gave man dominion. In the beginning, he did. But man sold out and gave it over to the devil. So now the devil has dominion. It doesn't take a genius to look around and see what's going on in the world to see that the devil's loose and running like a renegade, destroying all that he can. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Let's just think about it. He told Jesus, just worship me. I'll give you all these things. Now let me take you to another place I want you to see. Listen, we're in Luke, so let's look at chapter 3, verse 37 and 38. I want to show you something here. See, I'm just absolutely exposing some wrong teaching. Some wrong teaching that you've got to get this cleared up in your own heart and your own mind before you can move on to be the man and woman of God that God wants you to really be. If you still hold on, see, it's hard sometimes to uproot these old religious seeds that are sown in us, especially if you've been in church a long time. And you start hearing all this religious junk that's meant to cripple and hinder your faith. So you got to uproot some of that stuff. You got to take a hoe and some of it goes deep and you got to dig it out of there. And you got to replace it with the truth. Oh, it sounds good. It looks good. It must be good. It isn't good. Look what he says here in Luke chapter 3, verse 37. This is the lineage of Jesus Christ. And we're just stopping. We're just going, not from the beginning. We're just going to go on down to the very end. Verse 37, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of, can't pronounce that, Malil, which was the son of Canaan. Now look at verse 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Who was the very first son of God? Adam was. Made in his image, made in his likeness, was given dominion like God. Let him be like God. Let him have our image, our likeness, and let him have dominion just like we do. He was the first son of God. Do you know that you're a son of God if you've been born again through the revelation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ? Son of God. The Son of God. Adam was the first son of God. Now I want to show you something here that I think that needs to be exposed. Let's go to Job. Job chapter 1. Testament. Bless Job. Poor old Job. You know, I cannot tell you how many times people have come to me and said, well, what about Job? You believe that God always wants you healed. What about Job? God allowed Job to get sick. God allowed the devil to afflict Job. God allowed the devil to kill all Job had. And God allowed the devil to destroy his home and his lands. And God allowed the devil to, you know, in other words, God was really the culprit of the whole thing. Let me show you why it's not true. I can show you scripturally why it's not true. Just remember, the first son of God was Adam. The first son of God. And he had all that dominion. But the second son of God is Jesus Christ. There was a need for the second son of God to manifest. But look at Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now who's the sons of God? Sons of God. It's plural. And what in the world is Satan doing coming among the sons of God? What has he got a right to be in the presence of God as a son of God? Because this is a day that evidently was set aside for sons of God to come before God's presence and present themselves to God. But Satan came. Satan came because he had a legal right to come. He had a legal right to be there because he was coming in Adam's stead. Adam was the one who should have been there. Adam was the first son of God. And Adam should have been there along with the other sons of God, which I believe were angels. There was a day. You know, it wouldn't surprise me that there isn't still days that happen, certain designated times, when they come before the high court of God and present themselves. But this particular incident, Satan comes along, and guess what Satan says? Why are you coming? God asked him, what are you coming? He said, well, I've been going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. In other words, he's gone. You know, I know I ain't supposed to be here. You had sent me to judgment, but I've been able to, you know, because of your son, Adam. He's basically slurring God, you know, that son of yours. I'm here. You know, we can read between the lines here and we can look at what Adam is, Satan is really doing. And I'm coming around here and I've been walking up and down your earth that you created for man that turned it over to me, his dominion. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and upright man that feareth God and escheweth evil? Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Thou hast made a hedge about him, and thou hast his house, and he's all that he has on every side. And you've blessed the work of his hand. I mean, that's what God does. God does that for people who serve him and look to him. But you've got to remember, Job was not a redeemed man. Job was under the curse. Job was under the curse, and Job was not redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus hadn't come yet. So Job was doing all that he knew to do. That's all he knew to do was to sacrifice and to do the things that he had to do. To keep, you know, he was fearful. There was fear dominated. Let me say this. Fear is always a part of the curse. There was no fear in the Garden of Eden before the fall. There was no fear whatsoever. There was nothing but eternal bliss. So fear came with the curse. Fear came with the fall. Fear and the devil are equal. You can't separate the two. So faith is of Jesus. Peace is of Jesus, not fear. Faith is opposite of fear. So Job could not exercise faith like you and I can. Did you know that? Faith can't operate in the, Job could not operate in the level of faith that you and I can operate in. Understand that. Because we've been given the blood of Jesus, we've been access to the throne of God, and Job didn't have any of that. He was just doing the best he could do because he knew, and you know, if you really study the Old Testament, you don't see very many of the old saints in the Old Testament even talking about the devil because they couldn't do anything with him. They were under his rule and his dominion. Remember, he took Jesus up and he said, here's all the kingdoms, they're mine, they've been delivered to me. Satan was the god of this world. He's still the god of this world, but he's not the god of my world. So let's read on. Verse 11, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not thine forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking. And of course, we know the story. All this horrible destruction came. Now, verse 12 would make you think and make you believe that God was giving the devil permission. He wasn't giving Satan permission. Satan already had permission. Look what Jesus, look what God said. Look what Almighty God said. He said, all that he hath is in thy power. Do you think he just all of a sudden said, okay, I just turn all that he's got over to you? No, it was already under his power. Everything that Job had since the fall, man was under the power of the enemy. Remember what I just shared? When Jesus was being tempted, he said, he took him up on the pinnacle and he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, these are mine. I have dominion. This is mine. I have power to give to whoever I want. Satan has power. He had power right here. And he says, God, just basically, what are you talking to me for? What are you asking permission for me? You've already got it. He already belongs to you. Adam sold out the whole human race to the devil. And let me show you the a little bit more. Let me go a little deeper here. In verse 5 kind of gives you an understanding. Verse 5 of Job 1. Verse 5 of Job 1, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sacrificed or sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, you see, if you go back to the order of life and the order of eternity, order of existence, everything that God said happened. Words are so powerful in your mouth. Words are so powerful in you. And even Job, his words said, he gave him power already. That gave the devil authority already because of what he said. Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. See, Job feared that something bad was going to happen. He already had the fear already. You have to follow what I'm sharing here this morning because it's really important that you get this revelation. Because I'm telling you, we've been taught that God wants you to have suffering. He wants you to have bad things. And the devil is working with God. God employs the devil to bring bad to you. I'm telling you, that's been preached in churches all over the United States for hundreds of years. And then, well, actually, probably all over the church world. And they take this one verse right here about Job, and they say, see there? Not recognizing that this is an Old Testament character under the Old Covenant, and maybe even before the Old Covenant, they say Job was one of the most ancient books of the Bible. And they forget to recognize that Satan is the god of this world, and there was no days man. Let me show you another verse in Job. Stay in Job and go to chapter 9. Poor old Job. I mean, he really did suffer. Job chapter 9, verse 33. Wait a minute. Let's go to verse Let's look at 32 and 33 of Job, chapter 9. For he is not a man as I am. Now remember, Job is recognizing that he's just a man. He's the offspring of the first son of man that sold out and turned high treason against God, and everything that Adam had was lost to the human race and was now given over to Satan, who is now the god of this world, who has legal right to be there. And Job is saying something prophetic here. Something prophetic is being uttered out of the mouth of Job. He says, for he's not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. God is not a man. He spoke right. God is not a man. But God had a son that was a man, didn't he? And he's the man's offspring, correct? And he says this, neither is there any days man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. That is a prophetic word. That is such a prophetic word about what Job saw by revelation, a need for there to be a days man. A days man, somebody, a mediator, somebody who could totally be in complete understanding of God and how he sees things. And then somebody who could stand on his side of the fence and totally understand what it's like to be a man. Somebody who completely was all God, who completely understand deity, and who was totally in agreement with deity and understood the way deity thought. And then somebody who could, on the other side, that's a mediator. That's somebody who's a true, honest, bona fide mediator. And there was only one that could ever be a days man betwixt Almighty God and the human race. And that was Jesus. There was a tremendous need for there to be a Son of God manifested. The Son of God. He's called the second Adam in Romans. The second Adam. Who is the Son of God. So y'all getting this so far? Let me show you something that I think that a lot of other Christians have taken out of context. And this just kind of came to me this morning. I said, you know, Lord, this is so true. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're getting our storehouse. We're getting out some old junk that should not be in our spirit man, and it's hindering our faith. Because whether you realize it or not, there are things that have been seated in you that can hinder you from believing God for your complete manifested healing. There are things in your being that you've been taught that will absolutely hinder your faith if you don't get them out. Uproot them. Get them out of there. Get your thinking right. Get your spirit conditioned to know God. Rightly dividing the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to show you something here. Starting with verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart me. And the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, what you've heard, because remember, religion is man's attempt to explain the Word of God. Religion will always try to make its best stab at it, to figure it all out, to make it fit where they think it should fit, and make the Word of God say what it should say without putting it in a complete context of God's Word. There's something called the interpretation of Scripture that is urgent that we got to get a revelation of. The interpretation of Scripture says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. What I've been told, and what you've been told, what we've been, even on radio, broadcast, on television broadcast, they take this scripture right here and they talk about, they say this, you know, God put an affliction on Paul because he knew too much, so he wouldn't get so full of pride and be so puffed up and just lose out with God completely. So God had to send a devil to him to buffet him, to keep him humble. I've heard this. Anybody else with me? Now, and then, well, you're blessed then, but I'm just telling you, this is what they teach you. This is what they teach you. People have been taught this. Believers. People who believe in God, right? And then they say, and then poor old Paul, he goes to Jesus, and he says, Lord, three times he begged Jesus, take this terrible affliction away from me. They say it with his eyes. They say that he had pus running from his eyes. And they say, you know, because in Galatians talks about if you could pluck out your own eyes, you would have given them to me. And they take that and they make a comparison. And they say, you know, he even went to Jesus for his healing. And he said, no, I'm not going to heal you. You're just going to have to suffer with it. And you're just going to have to make do the best you can. Because, you know, I'll give you strength to deal with it. Just suffer along. Don't worry about it ever being manifested, because it ain't going to be manifested, because I'll give you grace to deal with it. That's what we've been taught. That's what people have been told. And that is a lie. That's the farthest thing from the truth that you can even imagine in your mind. But it's the devil's attempt to destroy faith in a believer's heart, to make them doubt that God will answer their prayers. God is 100% yay and amen to every prayer I pray. What did Paul really hear from God? What did he really say? Let me make this real clear. Because that messenger from Satan, if you just read the book of Acts, and you can look at what Paul went through. Paul traveled in a very short amount of time to city after city after city, establishing church after church after church. But if you read all the places he traveled, it wasn't a bed of roses for Paul. It was a tough row to hoe for Paul. Every single city he went to, every single place he traveled, there was a messenger of Satan buffeting him. He was beaten. Three times, I believe, he was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. The devil sent a storm to try to kill him. Everywhere he went, there was persecutions. There was definitely a satanic messenger, that was sent to stop him, shut him up, shut him down. And I'm sure Paul got tired of it, and he said, Lord, everywhere I go to preach the gospel, in Ephesus they stoned him and left him for dead. I believe he was dead. This is a mighty man of God who had mighty revelations, but everywhere he went, there was a messenger. Where did this messenger come from? It came from Satan. It didn't come from God. And so Paul says, Lord, I'm asking you to get rid of this man or this demon that's coming after me, this thing that's coming after me. And you know what the Lord said to him in these verses? He didn't say, oh, you're just going to have to deal with the devil. No, you know what he said? My grace is sufficient for thee. What he's saying is, now, you know, everybody has an ear to hear. Have an ear to hear this. Have an ear to hear what he's really saying. You see, I hear it differently than a lot of people, because I've been studying the Word of God, and I know what my Lord would say. I know what he would say. See, grace means God's power working in me. God's power working in my storehouse. God's ability working in me. God's faith working in me. Jesus is saying, I've given you everything you could ever need that pertains to life and godliness in this life. I've given you all the ability that you could ever need to deal with the devil. He's saying, I have given you the ability to deal with this. My grace, my authority in your life, my word living in you is exactly what you need. He's saying, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Bingo. Revelation hit him. Oh, wow. Revelation. See, Paul's just writing and revelating to us what he got a revelation of. So the next thing he says is the revelation. Oh, glory to God. Paul's probably jumping up and down at this point. Hallelujah. Give him strength to go to the next city. Give him strength to go to any city he needed to go to. Gave him power to go. Gave him an anointing, a greater revelation came. All the revelations he had, this was one of the most powerful revelations Paul ever got. And he said, I will gladly glory in my infirmities, in reproaches, and weakness, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses in Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I made strong. Most gladly, rest of verse 9, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, we've missed the power. We've missed the dominion part. What we've been given back through Christ. We focus on how big and bad the devil is. Remember poor old Job. But we got Jesus now. We got a dazed man. We got somebody who's in touch with God completely and in touch with us completely. And we've been given authority and dominion and power. And we've been given the anointing of God in our lives. He wasn't worried at that point anymore. The church is raising up a mighty army who understand this. Paul got excited right here. Oh, glory. Well, I understand it now. I'll just keep on trucking on for Jesus. He gave up his head in Rome. Didn't stop a lick. Power of Christ was resting on that man. Isn't that wonderful? There is no problem that you do not have the answer for it. There is not one need that there is not in your ability, in your storehouse to pull out. I do not care what your problem is. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what it is. God has the answer. Do you believe the Word of God? I believe the Word of God. Go with me to, I'm going to show you a verse that God gave me a long time ago. In 1993, I had a vision. I had open vision. Kind of like what this guy had. And I was sitting I had Bell's palsy attack my face, and the Holy Spirit just gave me this verse. And it's in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. Here's that grace. Here's that anointing. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, I'll be happy to be weak then. If that's going to open the door for the power of God, I'll be glad to be weak. Look what he says here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. Here's the same man who just said those words that I just read in 2 Corinthians. And he says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Let me read it again. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe that. Do you believe that every evil work comes from the devil? Yes. Or do you believe that God has to help the devil out? That evil works come from God? No. Do you believe sickness comes from God? Do you think God uses sickness to teach you something? Does the devil send depression? Yes. Does the devil send depression, oppression, sadness, anger, affliction? Where does evil come from? The devil. But the word says, but Paul said, my God shall deliver me from every evil work. Every evil work. Every evil work. Well, let's get busy and believe this. Let's get busy and believe that God delivers me from every evil work. The devil is a bad devil. God is a good God. But the Word of God declares to me that my God delivers me from every evil work. And he preserves me into his heavenly kingdom, to be in glory forever and ever. You see, the devil wants to knock us out. The devil wants to hinder us from being effective for God. He doesn't want you to know who you are in Christ. He doesn't want you to know what you own in Christ. He doesn't want you effective in your walk with God. He doesn't want your prayers answered. He doesn't want you to walk above your circumstances. He wants you under your belly, under the bottom of the circumstances. He wants your circumstances on top of you. He wants you to look at your problem, think about your problem, focus upon your problem, feel sorry about your problem, worry about your problem, pet yourself over your problem, love on yourself over your problem, and talk about your problem to everybody in the world. He wants you to focus on the problem. He wants you to focus on the evil work. Think about the evil work. It's such a bad evil work. It's such a big bad devil. But instead of looking how powerful God is, looking at my God delivers me. The word needs to be delivers me. I'm a delivered child of God. I walk in deliverance every single day. I walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. I walk in deliverance. I won't settle for nothing but delivered.
Oh, Lord.
Amen. Woo! That's where the devil's got us bound. I'm delivered from every evil work. Take that, devil. I'm the delivered one. Who did Jesus die for? He died for me. If you let the devil keep whooping up on you, defeating you, putting you in the molly grubs every day, it's your fault. It's your fault. My God delivers me from every evil work. Paul said, I will glory in my weaknesses. Power of Christ rests on me. It's the power of God that's going to get the job done anyway. You can't make it happen. You're going to believe God. You got to believe God.
That's right.
Woo! Anybody feel this? Let me show you something else that I think is pretty interesting. St. John. Let's look at St. John. Chapter 20. I tell you what, I'm going to believe God. I'm anybody else, but I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. Yeah. Who's the best to believe anyway? Believe God. My God shall deliver me from every evil work. I'm delivered. We focus on the evil work when we don't want to think about the deliver part. I told that doctor, I said, I don't know what I got to do. I don't know what's going on, but this is not from God. This is not good, and it has to go. We allow the devil to beat us up. It's our fault because we've been given dominion. Look at St. John chapter 20. Everybody there? Look at this verse here. Starting with verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's a sad thing. Sad. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And said, saith he to Thomas. See, Jesus heard Thomas make that comment, statement. He heard what he said. But he looks at Thomas, says, reach hither their finger. Heard what he said. Here. Okay, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side. And be not faithless, but believing. See, we got a believing problem in the body of Christ. We got a believing problem. We got to see it, then we'll believe it. Or we got to have the evidence of it before we have accepted it. We don't know how to believe God. It's time to get ready for that. To be able to believe. Believe God. Now, how do you believe God? Just pull it out of thin air? No, you believe his word. If you can find a promise, then you can lay hold on it. You can lay hold on that promise. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. I love God, but I love his word. I love the fact that he sent Jesus for me. You know, whenever Thomas was making this statement, I want to share this real quick here. When he said in verse 25, and he made that statement, he said, I will not believe except I see these signs and wonders. Except I see it, I won't believe. whether we ever say it inside of us, there's a part of us who are just like Thomas. This is the part of us that we always will struggle with from the day until we are taken to heaven. We're always going to have a Thomas side of us to deal with. And that is going to have to be absolutely crucified. We're going to have to absolutely say, I'm not going to live like that anymore. Because what you're doing is you're waffling. You're wavering. You've got yourself in a position where, well, I want to believe God. I want to, but it's like, but, you know, I'm waiting on that manifestation thing. And then I'll believe. I'm waiting on it, you know, Jesus to say, okay, here I am. Put your fingers here. And then you'll believe. But see, that's not going to happen. We're going to have to believe the Word of God whether or not we ever have evidence of it or not. It's absolutely the way it's going to have to be. And we've got to stop this I won't believe stuff. We just have to start believing the Word of God. Look at Isaiah 53. This came to me this morning also. When it comes to healing, this is where most people are really going to have to step up, is in the realm of healing for their bodies. You know, God created your body. He knows exactly what it needs. He knows what kind of food you need to eat. He knows what kind of rest you need. He knows how much sleep you need. Everybody's individual. Everybody's different. But God knows what you lack as far as other things. But I'm talking about a time is coming when we're just going to have to believe God. Isaiah 53. And you know what? I believe that we've lost, in this modern day church, we've lost the bottom line of our faith is this. What does God say? What did God say He was going to do, and what did God do? There's three parts that God showed me years ago. He said, you got to be established in three things, Teresa. Get established in three things. And I'm going to share this with you. I can't share it all today, but there's three parts of the Word of God you got to get established in. Three most important things. I'm talking established. Get some foundations under your feet. The first established thing is, what did God do? What has He already done? Find out what God has already established in His Word as a truth. Be established in that. And then the second thing, get established in, is what is He doing right now? As for the church, for me personally, in heaven, what's going on now? What is He doing now? And the other thing to get established in is, what is He going to do? What's getting ready to happen? And God will begin to show you all three of these things: the past, the present, and the future. So you've got the past here in Isaiah 53. And He says in verse 1, who's believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when He shall see Him, there is no beauty. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you're reading this, I'm telling you, God is talking about Jesus. And this is what He has already established. This is going to be done. It will be done. It was prophesied. And look what He says. Verse 3, He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Verse 4, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. That's what God was getting ready to establish. He was prophetically sharing. If God said this is going to happen, it's going to happen. Okay, well, we know it happened. We know that it happened 2,000 years ago. So we know that Jesus died on the cross. We know that He was beaten. He was literally beaten with 39 stripes. That is what was done. That's established. And then you go to 1 Peter. Just go to 1 Peter. No, I'm sorry. Not 1 Peter. I believe it's 2 Peter. Ooh, glory. I'll tell you what, I feel like I've been preaching this morning. Yeah. Well, where is this? Where is it? I'm not sure where it is.
Oh, 1 Peter 2:22.
I didn't write it down. 1 Peter 2:24. But by His stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24, did you say? Okay. Now, when you look at this part, I'm getting ready to close. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, does it say are healed or were healed? Well, were is a past tense word, right? That means we were healed 2,000 years ago. So if you were healed, that means you are healed. If you were healed 2,000 years ago, you are healed now. You just had to be born and wake up one day and realize that was established 2,000 years ago. So I'm not trying to get healed. I was healed 2,000 years ago. And so that's where you step in your faith walk, and out of your spirit man, you lay hold on what was established 2,000 years ago, because God established it in Christ. Your healing was provided. Your grief was carried. Your sorrows were borne away. There's not a need for another sad day. If you were healed, you were healed. That means you are healed. Anybody getting this? Oh, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Lip service don't please God. It's believing that pleases God. It's when you believe that you receive. Mark 11, 23 and 24, 25. Have faith in God. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in his heart that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. When do you have whatsoever you have? When you say it. For what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, and you have it. Not waiting 100 years down the road for it to happen. It happens right then. I'm not going to be like Doubting Thomas and wait until I put the finger in the nails. Jesus said, don't be faithful, but believing. Father, I just close this word today. I thank you for faith. I thank you for faith that's coming alive in all of us. I thank you, Father God, that you're taking this church to a new level, a new place of revelation, a new place of deliverance. We're going to be here, Father, for people who need us in these end times. And we're going to get victory over our own passions, our own fears, our own worries, our own troubles. We're going to walk in victory as Paul did, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. We're going to glory in weakness. We're going to glory in the things the enemy does. And we're going to say, no, devil, you ain't got no power over me. I'm going to walk in the victory that God has provided for me. In the name of Jesus, my God supplies all my needs according to riches and glory. My Lord delivers me from every evil work. I am free. Who the Son makes free is free indeed. No weapon formed against me can prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I condemn it. Glory be to God. I'm established in the Word. I'm established in what you've said, Lord. I give you glory because it's the truth. Nobody bigger than you. And I believe that it shall be even as it was told me. Thank you, Father, for that kind of faith. You honor faith. You bless faith. You bless people of faith. You love faith. Oh, because it pleases you. It pleases you when we believe you. We just say, yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for providing. Thank you for what you made provision for. I will glory in my weakness that the power of Christ can rest upon me. I'm going to manifest the power of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.